الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، ومن اهتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فنستمر إن شاء الله. We continue with the Sharh of Al-Waraqat of Juwayni taken. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. فَنَحْنُ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى نَسْتَمِرْ فِي We'll continue with the explanation of Sharh al-Waraqat of Juwayni. The explanation of Sheikh Muthaymin رحمه الله تعالى from the Sharh of Waraqat, and also some books, other explanations from Ahl al-Ilm regarding this, the masail and the certain affairs and issues that Imam Haramain mentions in this matn. قال رحمه الله تعالى بتعريف أصول الفقه اصطلاحا هو القواعد التي يتمكن بوساطتها من استنباط الأحكام الشرعية من الأدلة. He said that the definition of Usul al-Fiqh, according to its people, according to the legislation, he said, "Hu al-Qawaid," his principles, that through it one is able to extrapolate a ruling with from the adilla, from the proof, yani from the Quran and from the Sunnah. So a principle and ruling and so forth is able to be extrapolated, yani istinbat, to be extrapolated with from from these principles, rulings taken from the Book of Allah, yani adilla, yani the Book of Allah, and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And we've dealt with this ta'rif sarahatan. We've dealt with this definition of Usul al-Fiqh. We dealt with this in the previous lessons. So there's no real need for us to delve into that, inshallah ta'ala, again. And that we see, we mentioned the definition of Usul, we mentioned the definition of Fiqh, and then we mentioned the collaborative definition of Usul al-Fiqh, and that's the mawdu'una, and that's istinbat, al-ahkam al-shar'iyya, and that's extrapolating rulings from al-adilla, from proofs, yani from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's ijmaliyya, it's general extrapolations taken from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he mentions, rahimullah, Juwayni, in this waraqat, he says, al-alaqatu bayna al-ilmi wal-fiqh. العلاقة بين العلم والفقه. And that is the connection between knowledge and fiqh, yani legal understanding, yani pertaining to ahkam. So that's knowledge in general, and it's relationship with al-fiqh, yani the legal stance or legal awareness and knowledge, na'am, jurisdiction and so forth. He says, رحمه الله تعالى, العلم والفقه في اللغة متقربان. إذ العلم هو الإدراك وهو حصول صورة الشيء في الذهن، والفقه مأخوذة كما تقدم من فقه الكفهم وزنا ومعنا، والفهم حصول صورة الشيء في الذهن. وأما الفقه بمعناه الشرعي فأخص من العلم، إذ كل فقه يسمى علما ولا يسمى كل علم فقه لأن العلم يصدق بالنحو والعدب والتفسير والتاريخ إلى الآخر. ولا يسمى واحد من هذه فقه فبينهما عموما وخصوص مطلقا. Okay, here in this مقطع here, the Sheikh رحمه الله تعالى is showing the difference again between knowledge, ilm and fiqh. The difference between ilm and fiqh, and or the relationship between ilm and fiqh. Again, we've done this before in the definition of al-fiqh when we defined the usul al-fiqh, and we meant, and Juwayni makes a difference between ilm and fiqh lughatan. And we mentioned the statement of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala that really, in reality, there is no difference linguistically between knowledge, ilm, and fiqh. But as it comes to the legislation, the shara, according to the legislation, there is a difference between fiqh and there is a difference between ilm, or difference between ilm rather, and a difference between ilm and fiqh. And the difference here, barakallahu fiqh, he says here that he says, أَمَّا الْفِقْهُ فَمَعْنَاهُ شَرْعِي فَأَخَصُّ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. He says, as for knowledge or fiqh, yani understanding of Allah's ahkam, the rulings, the legislation, he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, this is more specific than knowledge, as every fiqh can be called a type of knowledge. Every aspect of fiqh can be called knowledge, wala aks, yani, but not every knowledge can be called fiqh. In order to simplify this, salamum Allah, this statement of Juwayni, we'll just mention a few points, inshallah ta'ala. And we'll mention it briefly again because we've done this before. And that is number one, that he mentioned that fiqh is akhassu min al-ilm, that fiqh is more specific than knowledge. When we say fiqh, ya ikhwati al-quran, ikhwati al-kiram, when we say fiqh, fiqh yani, and that is knowledge pertaining to ahkam, that's pertaining to rulings, and rulings which are taken from the book of Allah and the sunnah of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's if we mean it, fiqh, as it relates to the legislation. We do not mean fiqh in this part here as it relates to linguistic meaning. And an example of the linguistic meaning is a statement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من يريد الله به خيرا يفقه في الدين. من يريد الله به خيرا يفقه في الدين. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for, He gives him knowledge and understanding of the deen. What we're talking about here, salamakumullah, is something that's more specific than knowledge. So for example, here, fiqh is a khassu min al-ilm. So for example, the fiqh of the ahkam, the fiqh of the rulings, the extrapolations taken from the book of Allah and the sunnah of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just not general knowledge. Not general knowledge of the deen, that knowledge of the ahkam, ilm of the ahkam, this is fiqh, knowledge of the rulings and the extrapolations from the book of Allah and the sunnah of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the example of this is that al-amr, when the messenger, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, aqimu salah, establish the prayer, this is fi'l amr, yufidu al-wujub, this is the command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which the ruling that comes from it is obligatory to establish the prayer. This is fiqh. This is fiqh, yani of al-ahkam, of the rulings. Na'am. Amma ilm, it's more general, like the ilm of nahu, the ilm of linguistics, ilm of tafsir, ilm of the tafsir, explanation of the Quran, tariq, ilm jarh wa ta'dil, ilm of al-adab, of manners, and so forth, and heart softening, texts and so forth. These are knowledge in general, but it's not considered fiqh here as it relates to this fun. Fiqh is more specific, and that is that knowledge pertaining to ahkam. So this, to rulings. So this takes us to number two, point number two. And that is every single fiqh is knowledge. So the fiqh of that which is wajib, the fiqh of that which is obligatory, the fiqh of that which is mustahab, the fiqh of that which is batil, the fiqh of that which is false, invalid, the fiqh of that which is sahih, valid, all of this is ilm. All of this is ilm. But we cannot say that the knowledge of nahu, the knowledge of linguistics, tahrikh, the knowledge of tafsir, we don't say this is fiqh, this is ilm, this is generally knowledge. Na'am, all pertaining to the deen, but not specific like fiqh. Fiqh is specific for the ahkam and the ruling, al-aam, al-khas, that which is general, that which is specific, ad-mutlaq, wa mukayyad, that which is restricted, and that which is open. Na'am, this is ahkam. An-naskh, abrogation, that which is abrogated. This is fiqh, this is ahkam, these are rulings. These are mawadi' and areas pertaining to al-istinbat, pertaining to extrapolating a ruling from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is generally the meaning here of al-alaqatu bayn al-ilmi wal-fiqh, the connection between salamukumullah, ilm and fiqh, knowledge and leaked understanding and ahkam of ahkam taken from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, so we can say, for example, when we say إياك طالب العلم, طالب العلم, the student of knowledge, we say yes, طالب العلم, the student of knowledge. This incorporates fiqh, this incorporates the student who has fiqh, and also the student who has knowledge of different funoon, different texts, sciences like tafsir and adab and mustalah, and also a nahu. Now, this is fiqh, this is incorporated. But when we say who are al-faqih, we say that somebody is faqih, now we are making it more specific. We're making it more specific, saying that this is somebody who is mutabahir, who has knowledge, fahim, has knowledge of the ahkam, of the rulings taken from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Which is why it says لِعَنَ الْعِلْمَ يَصْدُقُ بِالنَّحْوِ وَالْعَدَبِ وَتَفْسِيرِ وَتَارِيهِ. Like he said, ilm, can we say it is nahu, linguistics, and its manners, or the prose and poetry, and also its tafsir, yani the explanation of the Quran, and the tarikh, history, and so forth. These are knowledge, but it's not considered fiqh. It's not considered fiqh. Now, and then Jawaini rahimahullah ta'ala, he says ta'riful ilm. Now he's going to the definition of ilm. Okay, this is generally again incorporating fiqh and incorporating ilm. Ta'riful ilm qal husul surati shay' fi dhihni ala ma huwa alayhi bil fil waqi'. Mithaluhu idraku anna ash-shamsa tali'a wa anna al-'alam ghayru qadim wa anna as-sa'ata 60 daqiqa ila akhirih. He said, now going into more depth as in to understand the meaning of knowledge, he said that the definition of knowledge is husul surat ash-shay' fi dhihni ala ma huwa alayhi fil waqi', and that is of obtaining an image of something in the mind in that which is according to reality, and that is envisaging or attaining an image in the mind regarding something, upon that which it, this thing is, as it relates to reality, as it relates to the waqi', as it relates to the reality, in that which is, it actually is, in that which it actually is. He said, this is ilm. Regarding this statement here, Sheikh al-Ilama Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he said it was better that he mentioned, he said, idraku shay ala ma huwa alayhi. Idraku shay ala ma huwa alayhi. And that is the awareness, not just obtaining an image. He said the best definition of knowledge is to say the awareness of something of on how it really is. The awareness of something on how it really is. And that is because we have many things that we should be aware of. And the first of that, أجل أن يشمل يعني المحسوس التي ترتسم صورتها في الذهن والعلم بالأمور المعنوية المعقولة. And that is those literal affairs is also incorporated in this definition of being aware of literal affairs and being aware of figurative affairs, ma'nawiyya, figurative affairs. Literal affairs, say that it's mahsus, things that when you touch fire, it burns. When you touch fire, it burns. This is mahsus. This is something that is literal. And this is incorporated in the definition, idraq, and that is being aware. So being aware that something is hot. This is idraq. Idraku shay ala ma huwa alayh. If an individual thinks that touching fire will freeze, then this is not knowledge of fire. This is not idraq. He's not being aware. Conceptualize la. Idraq means he's aware. And as for being aware of something that is ma'nawi, being aware that something that is ma'nawi, this is something that is ma'qul, figurative, that you cannot touch. That you cannot touch. Now, and he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, Jawaini, in his definition, remember his definition is, حصول صورة شيء في الذهن على ما هو عليه. Yani that is obtaining an image of something in the mind, that image is what it really is. Okay, this is a limited definition of knowledge because it doesn't incorporate those things that you touch, because the things that you touch are not in the mind. What Jawaini is saying is ilm is something in the mind, but rather that which you touch as well can also be knowledge. So that's why Sheikh Muthaymin rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that it's awla, it's better that he says idraku shay ala ma huwa alayhi. Naam. And in his definition he mentions a few examples, Jawaini rahimahullah ta'ala, we can say this is point number two in this area, and he mentions an example, and from that he says وَأَنَّ الْعَالَمْ غَيْرُ قَدِيمٌ وَأَنَّ الْعَالَمْ غَيْرُ قَدِيمٌ. What does that mean? He says, and meaning that the world is old, isn't it? Let's look at the literal meaning of the word here. He says, and that say the world is not qadim. That the world is not qadim. What does that mean? That means annahu qad subiq annahu subiqa bil adam. And that is when you say that the world is not old, as is mentioned by in the language, and that is saying basically that the world did not exist before it existed. That the world did not exist before it existed. He said, this is ilm. But you know that before it was created, it was absent. This is the meaning of وَعَنَّ الْعَالَمْ غَيْرُ قَدِيمٌ وَعَنَّ الْعَالَمْ غَيْرُ قَدِيمٌ For Yusuf bil qadam or qidam. For Yusuf bil qidam. It's attributed bil qidam. that anything that is attributed with qidam, that means that it had no beginning, that it had no beginning, which is why some of the people from the philosopher, they say Allah is qadim. They give Allah the name qadim. Why? They say because Allah, there is no beginning for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give himself. Isn't that, we know from the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, that we don't give Allah the sifa or any attribute except that which he subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to himself, and that which has no deficiency in any way, form or fashion. Now, back to the mawdu. He says an example of ilm is the knowledge that the world did not exist before it was existed. And this is what an al-alam ghayru qadeem. This is an example of knowledge. But like we mentioned, as Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned, that the best definition for this, barakallahu feekum, is that it is idraku shay ala ma huwa alayhi, and that is being aware of something how it's supposed to be. And be aware of something and how that awareness you have of that thing is how it really should be in reality. Now, and that is ilm. And that is ilm. An example of this is having ilm that a nikah, having knowledge that from the conditions of nikah is having a wali. So having a wali, a guardian or a male from your father or your brother. Naam, al wali. La nikah bila wali. But there is no marriage without a wali. Somebody, he's asked a question and they ask him, what is the ruling? Ya akhi, we got married without a wali. What is the ruling of this? We say that the marriage is batil, it's invalid. There's no nufuz. There's no implementation here because there's no wali. And the person knows this from the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, la nikaha bila wali, that there is no marriage without a wali. Now this is idraku shay ala ma huwa alayhi. This is ilm, because he adraka, he's aware of this affair and this surah, of this issue, on how it's supposed to be. And how it's supposed to be is how it is mentioned in the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَهَذَا هُوَ الْعِلْمُ. And this is in reality knowledge. Na'am. And then he mentions rahimahullah ta'ala al-Juwayni. He says, وَدِدُّ الْعِلْمُ الْجَهْلُ وَهُوَ أُصُولُ سُورَةِ الشَّيْءِ فِي الذِّهْنِ عَلَى خِلَافِ مَا هُوَ عَلَيْهِ فِي الْوَاقِعِ مثاله إدراك بعد الفلاسفة أن العالم قديم وهذا مبني على أن مفهوم الجهل وجودي. And he says rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that the opposite of salamukumullah, the opposite of knowledge is ignorance. The opposite of knowledge is ignorance. And that is husulu surati shay fi dhihn ala khilafi ma huwa alayhi. And that is obtaining something in the mind that is in opposition to reality. Obtaining something in the mind that is in opposition to reality. And an example of this is the philosopher who say that the world is qadim, that the world is qadim. And that is that they say, some of the philosopher, that they say that the world, there is no beginning for the world, it always existed. This is jahl, this is ignorance. Naam. Why? Because that image that they have, that surah, that image that they have in their mind of the world is in opposition to reality. It's opposition to reality. And another example of this is the saying that Allah is Al-Qadim. That's what I meant before, actually, in the first instance. That they say that Allah is Al-Qadim. And that's given to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the name Al-Qadim. And this is not in accordance to reality, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give himself the name Al-Qadim. He did not give himself the name Al-Qadim. So here, Juwayni rahimahullah ta'ala is showing an example of jahl, of ignorance, and that is putting something in or having an image of something which is in opposition to that which is in reality. And then he mentions after that, rahimahullah ta'ala, anwahul jahl, the examples or categories of ignorance. And the first he mentions is, he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, rather, al-jahlu naw'an basitun wa huwa 'adamu al-'ilmi bi shay' ka'adamu 'ilmina bi madati as-sama' wa 'adamu 'ilmina bima tahta ardain wa bima fi butun al-anhar wal-bihar. And he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, wa murakkab kama yajhalu shay'an wa yaj'alu annahu jahilun bihi. And he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, that the two categories, yani ignorance is of two categories. The ignorance is of two categories. The first category is plain ignorance. The first category is plain ignorance. And that is the ignorance of something. Not having knowledge of something. And that is, for example, we don't have knowledge of the material of the sky. What is the sky? The material, the madda, the material of the sky. We don't have knowledge regarding that. So this is jahl. This is ignorance, because we don't have knowledge regarding that. And that ignorance is a plain ignorance, because we all accept and we all know that we don't have knowledge of that affair. And likewise, that which is in on the earths, we don't know, don't have knowledge regarding this affairs, and so forth. And this type of knowledge, as Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, ignorance, as Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that this is something which is not as bad as the second category. It's not as bad as the second category. And why? Because this category, jahl basit, and that is the plain ignorance, is an example of this. If somebody says to you, hal huwa hadid aw khashab aw teen aw kada, when you're talking about the sky, is it made out of iron or wood, earth or this and that? And then we say, la nadri, we do not know. We do not know. This is basit. This is a plain ignorance, because the individual has admitted that they do not have knowledge of this affair. And another example is if somebody is asked an issue of fara'id, somebody is asked an issue of inheritance. He says that his father died, and he's left with his mum and himself, the son, and a sister. What inheritance does each individual receive? And the person doesn't have knowledge of fara'id. He doesn't have knowledge of inheritance, so he says, la nadri, I don't know. This is jahl basit. This is plain ignorance. He's admitted that he doesn't know. But now the second category, and that is jahl al-murakkab. And that is the twofold ignorance. And the twofold ignorance is like the individual who is ignorant of something, may Allah protect us, the individual is ignorant of something, and he is ignorant of his ignorance of that thing. He's ignorant of something, and he is ignorant of his ignorance of that thing. So he has twofold ignorance. Which means he's got double ignorance, rather, we could say as well. And that's the first ignorance he has, is that he's jahl bilwaqi. He is ignorant of the state of affair, the reality of the affair. Yani that thing or that issue. And the second type of ignorance is that he is ignorant of his own state. So fahuwa jahl, indahu jahl bilwaqi, wa indahu jahl bihalihi. So he, number one, is ignorant of the reality of the affair or the issue at hand, and he is ignorant, secondly, of himself and his own ignorance. This is why it's called murakkab, twofold, double ignorance. And an example of this, as we mentioned before, the issue of inheritance. If a man dies and he's left with a wife and he has a son from the wife, what is the inheritance? What inheritance does the father get? And an individual says that the father gets half. The father gets half of the tarika, half of the wealth that the wife left behind. And somebody says to him, "Ya akhi, this is not correct, because with the presence of the walad, the presence of the son, he gets a rubu', he gets a quarter now, because they have a son. Walahu walad, they have a son. So therefore, the husband gets a quarter of the tarika, of that which is left from the inheritance of the wife." And then he argues, he goes, "La, no, it's not." So this individual now has twofold ignorance. Why? Because he is ignorant of the reality, and that is that the husband, the widower, what he gets is a quarter due to the presence of the son. Initially, he should get a half, but due to the presence of the son, he gets a quarter. Na'am. This is the waqi', this is the reality. So he's ignorant of that reality, taken from the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And secondly, he's ignorant that he's ignorant of that which Allah mentions in his book and the ahkam taken from the Quran and the sunnah for this affair. This is what Juwayni rahimahullah ta'ala is mentioning in general as it relates to salamakum Allah, as it relates to al-jahal murakkab. And we all go through ignorance, ya ikhwatil karam. We all go through ignorance. And the first ignorance that we go through is the jahlu fitri. And that is that natural ignorance, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, "Wallahu akhrajukum min butuni ummahatikum la ta'lamuna shay'a." Wallahu akhrajukum min butuni ummahatikum la ta'lamuna shay'a. That you were taken from the bellies of your mothers and in a state of not knowing anything. This is jahl fitri. This is the natural disposition. This is the natural way, order. Because al-ilmu bit-ta'allum. Al-ilmu bit-ta'allum. Because knowledge is attained by seeking it. And we were born not seeking ilm. So therefore we have this ignorance that is fitri. We have this ignorance that is fitri. Now, so here Sheikh Al-Juwayni rahimahullah ta'ala has explained knowledge and the definition of knowledge and definition of ignorance, and also the different categories of ignorance, the different categories of ignorance. And we leave it here, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, and next week, inshallah ta'ala, we'll deal with the anwa'l ilm, the different categories of ilm, and the ikhtilaf بين الشيخ وغيره, and the differences between the Shaykh and other than him regarding these different categories. And also after that we talk about a dhan, a conjecture, a shak, doubt, and istidlal, evidence and so forth, and another rationalization and so forth. We talk about this bi'idhnillahi ta'ala next week. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us ilm, to give us fiqh in this deen, and to know our level, and know that which we are ignorant of, so we can seek knowledge in that affair. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين. بارك الله فيك.